I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic. It's exciting to be with you now on the radio. So please, let's start with this. Tell us about this forthcoming album of yours.
Well, it's we don't know what it's called yet. It was called Valkyrie, but I think we might be changing that name. We're in the studio at the moment, and we've been on the road, actually. We've been doing some shows in Europe. We did some shows in Germany, Switzerland, Austria, and Denmark, and we just got back on Tuesday. We're starting the studio again on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll take a break and come and see you on Thursday.
Yeah.
Rehearse on Friday, we play on Saturday, I think.
Yeah, that's it. Попитах го всъщност какво може да ни каже за предстоящия нов албум на Asia. Джон Уетън каза, всъщност не знаем как ще се казва, имахме едно заглавие, но едва ли ще бъде такова. В интерес на истината, в момента сме в студио, работим върху него. Имахме поредица от концерти в Германия, Швейцария, Австрия и Дария, но сега в понеделник влизаме в студио, аз пристигам в четвъртък, другите в петък, защото идваме при вас, ще свирим в събота. Well, as you said, next Saturday you're coming with Asia to play at the Roman Theatre in Plovdiv, and there is a posting on your website full of enthusiasm. Why is that?
I really enjoyed the last time we played in Bulgaria, and I'm looking forward to coming back to play there.
Mm-hmm.
We played in Sofia last, about 3 years ago.
Well, 2009 makes four.
That's okay, 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it was great though. Really, really good audience, and I'm looking forward to coming back to Bulgaria.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, particularly that setting looks great. You know, the old Roman amphitheater, and it looks perfect. Playing with an orchestra, yeah, good stuff.
Have you ever played with an orchestra before with Asia?
We've had an orchestra on records. We had an orchestra on Astra, on two tracks. The main track that the orchestra, it was Lewis Clark and the London Symphony Orchestra,
mm-hmm.
and they played on Rock and Roll Dream. It was fabulous. I always thought that Asia was meant to be with an orchestra.
Mm-hmm. Попитах го, да, факт е, че ти каза в твоя уебсайт, във вашия уебсайт, хайде да не си измислим, че му говоря на ти, във вашия уебсайт, мистер Уетън пише, че по повод концерта ви в Пловдив, вие сте пълен с ентусиазъм. Защо той каза? Защото когато свирихме в България преди 3, аз го поправих 4 години през 2009, беше страхотно, публиката беше невероятна, а освен това, този античен театър в Пловдив изглежда страхотно, а и с оркестър. Свирили сте с оркестър, казах аз. Той каза, винаги съм мислил, между другото, че Asia трябва да свири с оркестър в третия ни албум Astra. Свирихме с лондонската филхармония. Те ни бяха с нас вътре в две парчета в Rock and Roll Dream. Винаги съм искал това да се случи отново, така че това ще се случи. As I know, you are going to play 6 songs with the orchestra. Who was the one to choose the songs? Who they would be?
Well, we are a democracy.
Okay.
So we chose the songs chose themselves. They will be the greatest hits, if you like. They will be the most popular mm-hmm. Asia songs, except for one. One song will be an acoustic song from it'll be the obvious ones. Heat of the Moment, Only Time Will Tell, Don't Cry, Soul Survivor, Wildest Dreams, and one surprise song, which will be Heroine from Phoenix.
Mm-hmm. Попитах го кой всъщност ти избра тези 6 песни, които ще изпълните с оркестър. Джон Уетън се засмя, каза, ние сме демокрация. Всъщност парчетата сами се избраха. Това ще бъдат най-големите ни хитове, плюс една изненадваща песен, парчето Heroin, акустична песен от албума Phoenix. И рече останалите 5 са очевидните. Soul Survivor, Only Time Will Tell, Heat of the Moment и така нататък. Well, since Heat of the Moment has become something like a symbol of Asia, aren't you fed up of playing this song all the time?
No, that song has been very kind to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's to have a big hit like that is a double-edged sword. you know, it got us the exposure in the first place to have a number one record in America and, well, around the world. And we can't complain now if people want to hear it. It's no, I think we'll be playing Heat of the Moment until the group plays its last concert.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, in a way, it's a tribute to us that people still want to hear it. You know, we always play it last. We've tried to play other songs as encore, but they still want to hear Heat of the Moment.
Yeah,
and it's got a very good summer feel good thing about it. To it, you know, Heat of the Moment is always brings back memories of the summer '82 for me.
Well,
as long as people want to hear it, we will play it. Fed up with playing it? No. It's because by the time we get to play Heat of the Moment, the concert is over. It's everybody have fun.
Okay, I just ask you this question because on his autobiography, the notorious Lemmy Kilmister of Motorhead, who is from a particularly different scene, but still he's one of the big symbols of British heavy metal and rock and roll in general, is saying that, for God's sake, everyone is asking me to play the Ace of Spades, but I've done 25 records later, after this one,
yeah.
That's why.
Well, he only got to make the 35 records because of that one that he made that's called Ace of Spades.
Yeah.
I think it's a privilege. When people want to hear it, it's a privilege to play it for them.
Mm-hmm.
I would be disappointed if I went to see one of my heroes and they didn't play the song that I wanted to hear. Mm-hmm. You know? So I think we have a duty there.
Попитах го, изморили ли се всъщност, омръзна ли ти да свириш Heat of the Moment? Той каза не, изобщо ред, разказа дълго как всъщност това беше нощ с две остриета. Нощ с две остриета, защото винаги е приятно да си спомняш как имаш хит номер едно в Америка. А това парче винаги ни носи много приятни спомени за лятото на 1982. Винаги свирим тази песен последна. Концертът вече е свършил. Не съм си изморил да я свирим. Не ми е омръзнала. А пък, освен това, когато аз отивам да гледам любимата си група, бих бил адски разочарован, ако те изпеят песента, която символизира това. А пък Леби, например, е имал възможност да направи още 30 албума, именно заради успеха на Ace of Spades. Alright, so another thing is regarding music. You're very much, you're pretty experienced, to put it mildly. In progressive music, according to you, how has the progressive rock idea progressed through the years?
Well, I think it is a misnomer right now, because when the movement first started, it was an amalgamation between rock and classical music. Really, that's where it came from. If you look at the early bands like King Crimson, Procol Harum, Moody Blues, Jethro Tull. It was progressive music, and then ELP, of course, Genesis. It was a marriage between rock music and rock and roll, as we knew it then, and classical music somewhere along the line. And it really was. Every album that I bought between 1969 and 1973 was a new adventure. I didn't know what was going to happen. I put the record on the turntable, and I'd be prepared to have my head blown off by the experimentation, musical and oral. You know, the way that recordings were getting better and better and better. Then along came a new wave in 1976, and they said, "Oh, we don't need all that. We're going to take it back to basics, and it doesn't matter if you can't play. It doesn't matter if you record something on a two-track tape recorder." And then it had to start all over again around about 1980, 81, and it started in a different way, but people still called it progressive. And what happened to, let's say, Asia, what happened to Genesis in the 1980s was very much not progressive. There's still a lot of, if you look at Asia's first record, there's a lot of progressive roots in there, but it really has a different kind of commercial feel. The same with Genesis in the 80s. It was very different from the Genesis that started out in the early 70s and late 60s.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we have just hung the label progressive on it because of something that went before. I don't think it's truly representative of what music is now, but people don't know what to call it, so they call it progressive.
Well, probably because the same people that you're talking about, like you guys in the 80s and Genesis, were pretty much involved into what used to be called progressive in the 70s.
Yeah. I don't think that the music now is progressive anymore. I don't think it's truly going forward. I don't think that there are any barriers being pushed down as far as music is concerned or as far as technology. The sound of the records is still pretty safe. You know, I don't think it's truly progressive, but I don't think that the press or the media knows what else to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And if I've been involved in various progressive rock bands, and they assume that I'm a progressive rock musician. You know, so a lot of people that I hang around with, that I work with, are from that same genre. You know,
I'll try to put it short in Bulgarian.
I don't think it's truly progressive anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but people will call us progressive because we come from a certain
background
genre.
Yeah. I'll do this in a short way in Bulgarian. Въпросът беше, окей, вие сте изключително опитен човек, музикант, свирил в най-основните прогресив групи. Как се разви понятието прогресив през годините? Как прогресира? Той каза, не мисля, че това, което в момента и през последните години се нарича прогресив, в действителност е прогресив. Прогресив започна през 70-те години с групи като King Crimson, Procol Harum, Moody Blues, Emerson, Lake & Palmer, Jethro Tull, естествено. И всъщност това беше комбинация, групи, които комбинираха това, което наричахме рок-н-рол с класическа музика. Периода 69-73. След това през 76-та дойде новата вълна пънка. Тогава нямаше значение дали можеш да свириш, дали записваш на двупистов магнетофон. През 81-та започна нова вълна с групи като Нас, Asia и Genesis, но всъщност ние вече не свирихме прогресив. По някакъв начин обаче медиите и звукозаписните компании ни наричаха прогресив, може би защото не знаеха как да ни наричат. Аз му казах, може би защото вие бяхте същите хора, които бяхте свирили прогресив в края на 60-те и началото на 70-те. Той каза, да, това, което искам да кажа е, че днес не се пресичат никакви граници, не се чупят никакви бариери, с изключение на технологични. И така нататък. You mentioned this massive success that you had with your debut album in 1982, Asia, and it was the best seller in the United States, a pretty good achievement for a British band. Because, well,
it was the best seller in the world.
In the world, okay, yeah.
Well,
was it part of the plan, or you didn't know it's going to happen?
No, personally, I thought when we made the record, I thought it would do about 300,000, something like that. I thought because of the way the musical climate was at that time, 1982, I thought we would do about 300,000 records. Something a little bit more than UK had sold 4 years previously. But it was the power of the singles and the power of MTV that just pushed it straight into the top 20, you know. So we were lucky. We hit a wave at the time when people were listening to on the radio. Cast your mind back to 1982. It was all synthesizer pop. It was Flock of Seagulls and Human League and stuff. And suddenly Asia came on the radio and it sounded really big. It sounded like serious music again. So we caught the crest of the wave in 1982. People just loved it. You know, the videos went over very well on MTV, and radio loved it. Radio loved it. Wherever it was in the world, radio loved it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think part of the initial success was shock, because people said, you hear these old farts that got together and they formed a band. Well, listen to this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they would play Heat of the Moment, then they play, so you think that's good, listen to this, and they play Only Time Will Tell, and then they play Wildest Dreams, and then, they, you know, the album was so deep with good songs, and that was its strength.
Въпросът беше, добре де, всъщност през 82-а вие постигнахте най-продавария албум в Америка, най-големия пазар, той каза, това беше най-продавария албум в света. Добре де, това част от плана ви ли беше, стратегически замислено или се получи случайно? Той каза, не, абсолютно случайно се получи. Аз лично очаквах да продадем около 300 000 копия, всъщност те продават само в Америка над 8 милиона. Всъщност просто да се случи така, че попаднахме в момент, в който хората като че ли вече бяха изморени от това по радиото да звучи синт поп като Human League, и когато излязохме ние старите пръдлевци с тези парчета, които всъщност силата на синглите беше много яка тогава, аз пусках ги нон-стоп и по MTV и всъщност така се получи. Alright, for a number of years you were not working with Asia, but then came this reunion. What was the reason for reuniting the original lineup? Was it for financial reasons or pure nostalgia?
No. I think if we'd done it for financial reasons ever, if we'd done anything for financial reasons, it would fail. We had to do it for artistic reasons. And there was a big feeling amongst the four of us that we had not finished what we set out to do. That is, it all got taken over by the business in 1982-83. And we split up, and then, you know, it very much was down to the four of us sitting in a room and we said we haven't finished this thing yet, we need to let it go a little bit longer. So we did another three records. The truth of it is, the reason why we split up this time, why Steve left, is that he could not continue to do two jobs, play with Yes and play with Asia. So something had to go, and so in fact what he's done is he's done us a favor, because the band is sounding much stronger now. It's a different kind of edge to the band with the guitar that Sam brings into the group.
Fresh blood, fresh blood, I said.
Fresh blood indeed, yes.
Yeah,
and it's given the band a different energy. It's good. Mm-hmm. It's really, really good. The tour that we've just done in Europe was fabulous. The audiences absolutely loved it.
Попитах го, добре де, всъщност, защо събрахте оригиналния състав? Заради финансови причини, заради пари или от чиста носталгия? Той каза, не, поради творчески, артистични причини. Знам, че ако тръгнем да правим нещо за пари, то ще се провали. Просто имахме усещането, че не сме довършили това, което започнахме през 82-83. Стояхме веднъж в една стая четиримата и го осъзнахме заедно, и затова тръгнахме да работим заедно отново. Всъщност, в началото на тази година Стив Хао напусна по простата причина, че той осъзна, че не може да прави две неща едновременно, и Yes, и Asia, но всъщност направи услуга на групата, защото новият ни китарист внесе един различен ъгъл, нова кръв, свежест, и това, което се случи сега в европейското ни турне, беше изумително. I talked to Jeff 9 years ago and asked him if the name Asia was chosen as a response to the Swedish hitmakers of Europe. And he laughed at me, of course. So, what was Asia then? What was
Asia? We went through hundreds of names.
I can imagine.
As every new band does. And our manager said, yeah, nobody's used the word Asia. And everyone went, yeah. The next day I came back and I said, you know what, Asia's really good. It's four letters, four people, and it looks good kind of geometrically, because of the two A's, you know. And so we decided to give it to Roger Dean and see if he could come up with a logo. And the logo he came up with, I thought, was fabulous. It's the same one that we use today. And that really, it was just the strength of the fact that it's four letters, four people. Same as ABBA, really. Same as the Swedish hit makers, but it was a kind of rock version of that. We weren't seeking to emulate ABBA. We were just it looked perfect. Four people, four letters. You know, really, really simple.
Въпросът беше, тъй като вероятно си спомняте в интервюто с Джеф Даунс преди 9 години го попитах, добре де, когато избирахте името Asia, Азия, това да не беше отговор на шведските хит Hit G от Europe, той естествено се надсмя, още повече че аз се шегувах. Попитах сега Джон Уетън, той каза, в интерес на истината естествено, че не е това. Просто минахме, както можете да си представите, през стотици хиляди варианти за име, като всяка нова група. На другия ден, т.е. менеджерът ни предложи Asia, на другия ден аз, когато се срещнахме много, казах, знаете ли, това не е никак зле, 4 души в групата, 4 букви, а освен това геометрически изглежда много добре, започва с А и завършва с А, напомня на едни други шведски хитмейкери ABBA, които също започват с А и завършват с А, естествено ние не сме искали да се състезаваме с тях, но наистина, освен това художникът ни Роджер Дин направи страхотно лого, същото, което използваме и до днес. You mentioned Roger Dean. Are you following the case of Roger Dean suing the Avatar filmmaker?
Yes, I am. I don't know whether... I mean, I really hope that he gets something out of it, but he's up against an enormous corporation.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah.
Who have nothing better to do than to employ an entire floor of lawyers to... I don't know. I mean, when I saw the film, when I saw Avatar, I thought, wow, there is an awful lot of Roger in here. You know, the floating islands, the bridges, the actual avatars themselves look very Roger Dean. Certainly the animals, the dragons that they fly around on look very, very Roger. But I don't know how you can prove that sort of stuff.
Well, this could be the theft of the century. Or
absolutely. Yeah. No, Roger could be moving into larger accommodation.
Yeah.
I wish him all the luck because, you know, he'll need a little bit of luck going in there. He's up against an awful, hard-nosed bunch of lawyers, really.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I wish him all the best. You know, I love Roger. He's great.
Говоряки с Роджер Дин, попита го дали следи случая, художникът даде под съд създателите на Аватар, знаете този ужасяващ филм, а той иска от тях $50 милиона, защото те използват неговия свят. Джон каза, естествено, че го следим, не знам докъде са стигнали, но е ясно, че една такава компания разполага с цяла флотилия от адвокати и не съм сигурен, че ще му е лесно, не знам как ще може да се справи, но се надявам да успее. Пошегува се, разбира се, да се премести в по-голямо жилище, но наистина, когато гледах филма, си казах, вау, това е цветът на Роджер, самите герои, персонажи, животните изглеждат много като него. Two more questions to go. The one is... okay, so... this is a personal question here. I realize that you're vegan. And that's a fantastic...
I'm vegetarian, I'm not vegan.
You're not?
Carl is vegan, I'm vegetarian.
Carl, okay, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Okay, so my mistake...
I'm vegetarian, though.
Okay, yeah. Fantastic. All right, enough said then.
No, but my son... I'll tell you how there's a little story about this. Mm-hmm. But my son lives in Germany with his mother. And he lives in Bavaria, which is... they are big on eating pig in Bavaria.
Yeah.
And I was there for his birthday, and we sat down for lunch in a restaurant, and all they had to eat was pork. It was pig. And I ordered some pig, and when it arrived, it had this enormous slice of fat on it, and I just looked at it, and something inside my body said, we're not going to do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And from that moment on, I haven't eaten any meat. I had a heart problem about 6 years ago, and I am not supposed to eat too much animal fat anyway. Mm-hmm. So it's probably a good thing for me, but it was just a simple decision. It was nothing to do with ethics or any conscience or anything like that. It was just my body said, yeah, we're not going to do this.
Well, harmony in life and ideology sometimes go together, so it's a natural way of discovering things.
Absolutely.
All right, thanks for being with us. I'll see you
Thank
on
you.
Thursday.
I'll see you Thursday.
Yeah, ciao, bye-bye.
Thank you, bye-bye.
И така, всъщност, накрая си говорихме, затова казах му, хей, Джон, знам, че ти си веган. Той каза, не, Карл Палмър е веган. Аз казах, сори. Той каза, не, няма проблем, аз съм вегетарианец, но има цяла история в това. Синът ми живее с майка си в Бавария. И всъщност ходих им на гости в Бавария, както знаете, ядат основно и преди всичко, и като че ли единствено и само свинско. Седнахме да обядваме. И аз си поръчах. Вариантите бяха прасе, свинско, свинско, свиня, прасе, прасе. Поръчах си свинско, донесоха ми едно парче, върху което имаше огромна тлъста сланина. Аз го погледах и си казах, ух, не смятам да ям повече такова нещо. Тук няма етични проблеми и така нататък, защото преди 6 или 7 години имах проблеми с сърцето си, така че всъщност има може би връзка с моето здраве. Това беше Джон Уетън, който пристига първи в България в четвъртък, след което и другите. Концертът на Asia е в събота вечер, 21-ви, в античния театър. Ние ще бъдем там, елате и вие.